10-part series is what we just had finished. So it took us about 2.5 months to play the previous record that we were getting through. And I got to tell you, it's a pretty funny story because I was very surprised at the way that all worked out. The album was the Smithsonian Collection of Classic Jazz. And it is, well, the revised edition is comprised of 5 CDs. It was originally albums. And the 5 CDs took 10 weeks for us to play. Now, it started in like the very beginning of jazz, and it ended somewhere in the late 60s, early 70s, just like when the disc came out. And I knew that when we got to the latter part, it was going to be challenging because it was a lot of crazy music toward the end, music that I thought would definitely scare away most of my audience. But I'm a completist. If I say I'm going to play the album, I'm going to play the album. So the last bit had to be done. It had to be addressed. And it's also like I was trying to justify it. I was saying, look, it's history. It's good for everybody to know. You don't have to love it, but you can at least know it by hearing it and developing your own opinion. So finally, we're doing this last thing. And the first track is Cecil Taylor. And it's about 11 minutes of really strange noise. And of course, after that was a bunch of Ornette Coleman stuff, which kind of varied between being incredibly challenging and also, fairly listenable. But I knew that it was the whole time I kept saying, like, oh my God, if anybody calls me up, I know what they're going to say. Like, what's wrong with me? What am I doing? Blah, blah, blah. And I was even making jokes about how the station manager would probably end up wanting to call me and complain about some of the stylization of the music that we were playing, or I should say the crazy style of it. So anyway, the show ends relatively quiet. Didn't get any complaints during the course of the show. And then as the show ended at about 5:02, the phone rang. And the other show after us was already getting set up. So I didn't even answer the phone. And I could hear the person on my end of the phone, who picked it up, basically like, really? Really? Oh, no, he's right here. And I'm like, oh, no, it is the station manager, and I am fired. Because this is what was going through my head. I pick it up, and it was a listener who was absolutely, like, said, man, that was fantastic. I loved that entire show. Man, nobody ever plays anything like that, and I loved it. And I'm like, I was dumbfounded. I was truly dumbfounded. It was probably the best phone call I'd ever gotten here at the radio station, because it's when you least expect somebody to compliment what you did and tell you that they liked it, is exactly, that was that moment. And I figured, okay, I could even get, chastised for this. And in the meantime, I'm having people call me up and tell me how much they loved it. Regardless of whether or not you did hear it or didn't hear it or whatever, the fact of the matter is, though, it is behind us. And we are now moving on. And this album, also, that we're about to play, is from the summer of 1973. It is also on our alternative top 40 list. It's an album that did not make the top 40. I would also put this on our classic all-time sleeper list, an album that I pretty much feel very confident that you're not familiar with at all. The artist is O.V. Wright, one of my favorites. And I can't believe I didn't write notes for this, but the album itself is called Memphis Unlimited. The first thing I can tell you about it that's going to automatically make, to me, is like, oh, this is a sign that it really must be at least very good, is that the producer is Willie Mitchell. And the artist O.V. Wright, an American singer, you could call him a blues artist, but I think of him more as just a Southern soul singer, which means that he takes in aspects of gospel and the blues and deep R&B, funky R&B, and he mixes them all together. Some of my favorite singers, at least in R&B music, are exactly from that exact same fashion. People like, of course, Al Green, who I would, list over and over again as one of my favorite Southern soul artists. But we've also played albums in this series that I also said were sleepers, that I know people were saying, like, wow, what was that? But the artists that we did cover that were mostly unknown included Otis Clay and Paul Kelly. So now we can add Otis Wright to that list. And I won't waste too much time on this introduction then. I think we can just more or less let the album start for itself. The first track off of the album, Memphis Unlimited by Otis. His name was Overton Virtus Wright, but OV. The first track is entitled I've Been Searching.
I've been searching, I can't find what I'm looking for. Lord, it's a doggone shame, everybody's got a game. Lord, it's mighty tough when you don't know who to trust. But once in my life, I'd like to see just a little truth.
We did our Friday series about From Memphis to Muscle Shoals. We covered a lot of studios, and I know we touched on High Records, but we didn't follow High into the 70s. But that is what we're doing now, I mean, with some of these albums that we're playing. This album, Memphis Unlimited, was recorded at High Studios, and there was just obviously something magical about it. Willie Mitchell and that room were somehow a perfect match. Willie Mitchell basically said that he felt that there was something absolutely magical about that room. And I think that that's where all of the, I guess, his ability to manipulate sound as well as he did, where it came from. The sound is essentially flat, which is to say, not with a lot of reverb, not with a lot of effects. And that's one of the reasons why I think the albums have got such a great shelf life. They don't get old. You play an album from, like, say, the mid-80s now, and with the gated drums and all of the reverb on the vocals, and it's tough to get to the end of some of those albums. Everything was too stylized, and Willie Mitchell knew what he had. The studio at High Records was an old movie theater, and like old movie theaters, the floor sloped toward where the screen would have been, and Willie Mitchell swore that that was the reason why he had such a great sound, because since the floor and the ceilings were not parallel, the sound didn't bounce around and linger, and it allowed him to get the flat sound that he had without having to bring in all sorts of baffles and muffles and putting things up on the wall. The room itself.
He's onto something.
Yeah, he basically, you know, he attributed it to that and whatever. I mean, and if that's all that it is, well, it's obvious that it worked, because whatever it is that he did, the sound is amazing. And track for track here, you're probably going to think that you're listening to the follow-up of Al Green's Call Me, which is an album that I think, how long? Well, if it wasn't for the fact that we spent 10 weeks on the jazz box set, that was really only a few albums ago when we covered Call Me. So this is a contemporary of that album, but this time with Ovi Wright in the vocal booth, so to speak. That track was called I've Been Searching. Second track up on the album is a song, well, that's a little, I guess it's inspirational. It's called Nothing Comes to a Sleeper. Tell me, are you not surprised that you don't know this?
I am.
I mean, this is the type of thing where I play this and I'm just, my jaw drops when I mean, this is when I started this project, this was exactly the type of thing that I was looking for. I knew when I said I wanted to basically do a whole series of, you know, shows and essays. Even like the outline for a book on albums that didn't make the top 40. And I knew that that meant that I was going to have to look under a lot of rocks. And a lot of times what you find under rocks is not very pleasant. And I, you know, I drive everywhere. I mean, Heidi can tell you how many times do I drive her out of her mind because I have to listen to something all the way through just because I heard about it and I need to just let my brain know, yes, I listened to it. I've ascertained an opinion and it definitely does not belong to be included on the top 500. The thing is, I get, you could listen to 100 new things in a couple of months, say, and you'd be lucky if you found one thing that would turn you on. And that was the case with this. I'd be playing album after album after album, and I'd be like meh, or, oh, God, what are they thinking? Over and over and over again. And then in the middle of it, Ovi Wright pops up. And there's also, it's not just the fact that he is with, like, this is the Willie Mitchell album, but we covered an earlier album of his called The Nickel and a Nail and the Ace of Spades. And that had different production. And that was him during his star period. Well, which never really existed, but he did have some a certain degree of popularity on what they called the Chitlin' Circuit in the South. And he would make the R&B charts with some regularity in the mid-60s. Songs like Eight Men, Four Women, the jury thing, You're Gonna Make Me Cry, and the song like Ace of Spades and Nickel and a Nail. They were both top 20 hits on the R&B charts. In the North, though, nobody heard a word. I mean, we just never heard a sound of it. I mean, you didn't get any airplay. And I can't understand why. Let's play another track, and I'll be able to get to the song that basically introduced me to him in an indirect way. But this track is called The Only Thing That Saved Me by O.V. Wright.
Raised in a ghetto flat, eating beans and fat back, restless as an alley cat. Trouble was my welcome mat. Headed down a runaway street, drowning in my own defeat. Then she came with a love so sweet, me right off of my feet. Yeah. I got to tell you, people, the only thing that saved me was the love she gave. I got to tell you one more time, the only thing that saved me was the love she gave. Folks said I never reached 21, had to pay for the wrong I'd done. I wouldn't listen, I didn't pay no mind. Only hope I had was time. Then she came and she took me in. On that day, my life began. Taught me things my folk never found. Now I know what it's all.
Great, but mostly forgotten, O.V. Wright.
Such a shame.
Really. I mean, think about it. We've got two albums of his that made the alternative top 500. Now, that's, 500 albums sounds like a lot of albums. And granted, it is. But if I can pick two albums by this one artist and say, oh, they're among the 500 best, obscure albums of all time, that's saying a lot. It really is. I mean, especially when it was somebody that I hadn't heard of when the idea first even occurred to me. Here's what happened. The thing that pushed me in this direction toward O.V. Wright. I'm a subscriber to the Oxford American magazine. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but Oxford American is this great Southern literary magazine. that comes out. Well, it comes out infrequently because it's like basically a nonprofit, and the stories that they get pretty much all, not exclusively by people from the South, but it's usually, it's essentially, that's the whole gist of the magazine. It's about Southern living, the Oxford American. And once a year, they put out a music issue. Now, they've been doing this for about a quarter century now. This has been about 25 years. So in the beginning, the music issue came with a CD. And they did that for about the first 23 years. Last year, they stopped doing it, and they made it a digital download. And I think there was some really hellfire to pay because everybody was disenchanted with it. They did it wrong. So now they're back to supplying a CD with the magazine.
Yes.
And it's just, the reason it's great is because it is compiled with such deep love. And it was the type of thing that I would wait for annually every year. It was like a holiday to get the music issue of Oxford American.
I remember you searching for the few that you didn't have.
That's right. I had to collect and find the ones. I picked up on it around maybe issue number 4. So to find 1 through 3 by the time I was interested in it, I mean, they were expensive. I mean, some of them cost me like over $50 to get that CD. And it's just a compilation, but it was so worth it. They're just fantastic. Well, anyway, this one year, I get it. And this is the other thing that's amazing about it. You look at the playlist and you'll recognize, I did, and I know a lot of music, but I would recognize maybe 25% of it. The other 75% was stuff that was going to surprise me, stuff I didn't have any idea really what to expect. And one of it was by O.V. Wright, somebody I'd never heard of. So I remember distinctly bringing
this song is such a classic in my mind.
It's amazing. Heidi and I were on a road trip. We were heading up to the Berkshires and we're playing the new Oxford American CD. And this song by O.V. Wright came on and our jaws dropped. It was just like, no way. Is that what happens in this song? The story is it left us both slack-jawed, laughing and in love with it at the same time. Essentially, it's about a guy who goes to prison. And when he's in prison, he comes back and his wife has a son. And he's like, what? And then he tells the story about how he came to become the father of this boy. And it's just such a lovely song. It gives me goosebumps and it makes me laugh and cry all at the same time. It's just, it's an amazing piece of work. And it's called He's My Son, Just the Same.
He's not mine. Keisha, will you please forgive me, darling? I'm so ashamed. Oh, will you please love him? 'Cause he's your son just the same.
He's the son.
What an amazing sea of emotions that song brings up in me. It's just amazing. I mean, you kind of almost want to laugh.
To my knowledge, it's not autobiographical, though.
I don't think so. But it's performed with such, like, he's very believable. It's a great story. And it's the type of thing where you almost feel compelled to want to laugh about the fact that that would be a theme for a song, but he's so great at presenting it that you, next thing you know, you find that you're actually being moved by it. It's really one of my favorite soul songs ever right now. I would put that on a party list for the rest of my life. He's my son, just the same. And it appears on the album, Memphis Unlimited by O.V. Wright, which we are now playing in its entirety. He had a rough life, O.V. Wright. We'll start at the beginning, though. His past is so stereotypical that it almost doesn't even need to be told. He was born in the late 30s, and he was immediately basically singing in a church as a child. And while he was in, by the time he got into high school, he joined a gospel group called the Sunset Travelers. He was one of the lead singers, and he fronted the group, another group as well called the Harmony Echoes. And it was around this time that he was discovered by a manager who and a songwriter who thought that he had enough talent to basically break away from gospel music and go mainstream. And of course, he had that exact same battle. Do you sing for God? Do you sing for money? And he was like, it's just, like I said, it's a time-worn story. Everybody more or less went through this, it seems. If you were black and in the South, this is pretty much the way your career began, if you're a musician. O.V. Wright did decide to take the chance. And the very first recording that he put down that was a minor hit was called That's How Strong My Love Is. And you probably know the song because later on, Otis Redding covered it. And then because Otis Redding covered it, the Rolling Stones heard his version, and then the Rolling Stones covered it. So O.V. Wright lost out. I mean, basically, he was totally, it's his song, but it was taken from him twice. And it kind of never, ever got straightened out after that, from that point forward. Let's play a couple of tracks back to back, because there's so much that I've been talking about here that I really would like to put the music first and be sure I get the whole album in. So two more songs left on what would have been side one. First one up is called You Must Believe in Yourself. And we'll follow that with Lost in the Shuffle on 90.3 WHPC. Here's O.V. Wright.
The dark of the night. Yeah.
ace of spades. Yes, I did now. I didn't worry about the king, Jack, taking my place. He just couldn't.
Got rid of me. Lost me in the shuffle.
Whoopsie dipsie.
There. I mean, honestly, if you've been listening to this and you've been listening to us on and off for the past decades, or even just if you're just a new listener, don't you want to write down the title of this album to remember this? The artist is O.V. Wright, and the album is called Memphis Unlimited. Now, just to let you know, I mean, it's fairly rare. You'll probably have to find a way to download it, but I'm looking on Amazon right now, and there's only one for sale, used, and they're asking $25 for it. So this is just how rare it is and how forgotten he is, and it doesn't make any sense to me. When I think about it has longevity, obviously. The record is 50 years old now, but the music sounds as contemporary as any other classic R&B. And mid-70s classic R&B, I think, is the most classic of all R&B. So I can't push it enough. O.V. Wright's album, Memphis Unlimited. Now, although he was recording with Willie Mitchell at High Studios, he wasn't on the label. The reason was, when he was originally signed, after he left his gospel career, it was later determined by Don Roby, who is one of the bigwigs, that he owned the label that O.V. Wright recorded for with his gospel group. So he was able to basically put his claws back into him and say, no, I've got you under contract. Whether you're with the gospel group or whether you're solo, you're going to stay on my label, Peacock. So he never really was able to put anything out on High Records, but he did manage to still work, thank goodness, with people, with Willie Mitchell and with the studio musicians. You can hear, you can tell that this is the same horn section used on Al Green records. It's the same rhythm section. I'm sure it's the Hodges brothers, Teeny and et cetera, the whole bunch of them. There's three of them. And I don't know. I just the fact that this exists in the middle of other people. Like I mentioned Al Green a lot, but there's also what's her name? Who wrote, did I Can't Stand the Rain? Ann Peebles.
Yes.
Who basically gets that exact same sound that from, and the thing that makes them all stand apart is the style of the songwriting and the singing. Ovie Wright is very different from Al Green in terms of the way that he expresses himself. I'd say he's a bit more forceful. He's a little bit more, I think he's tougher on himself. I think Ovie Wright isn't afraid to basically make it sound like he's the loser in the song. Al Green was always the lover man.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So there's a big difference there. All right, let's play a couple of tracks from side two. Oh, boy. This is, again, the title itself. Now, everybody knows the song, I'd Rather Go Blind. I think it was made famous by Etta James. Rod Stewart covered it. About a million other people covered it after Etta James made it super famous. Well, this song shares that name. But again, just like Ovie Wright, as you'd expect, he takes it one step further. His song is called I'd Rather Be Blind, Crippled, and Crazy. From the album Memphis Unlimited on 90.3 WHPC.
Oh, baby, if I've caused mistake sometime. And believe me, honey, I've already made my mind. Oh, I was so foolish and I was so blind. But will you please forgive me?
Any great soul singer, what Ovi does, and he does it even better than most, is that he really makes himself sound incredibly believable when he's saying, please forgive me, and I'm trying to go straight. I told you that he had a sad life earlier, and a quick summary of it. Like I said, he was born in 1939, and he wasn't allowed to record on high because of the Don Robey thing. He had to be on Peacock Records, and although he had like very small hits in the South, he really could not become, he never came even like within like 100 yards of Al Green's career. He never even came near it. And at some point in the 70s, around the time of this album, he had been arrested for narcotics and he ended up being imprisoned for it. So now he serves his time, like the song. And then he comes out, and he is now signed to High Records. They sign him, but he can't get back. He can't get his career back in motion, and nothing seems to be happening. And he ended up dying from a heart attack at 41 years of age.
Wow!
I mean, just really, really sad. I mean, he basically didn't have much time after this record was made. And it's really one of my favorite R&B albums. As of now, I mean, he's one of my favorite R&B singers. Let's play a couple more back-to-back. Are You Going Where I'm Coming From will be the first track up, and we'll segue that into Ghetto Child.
I can't take no more, baby, what you putting on me. You beg me to stay, turn around and tell me to leave. I had every kind of woman a man could possibly want. I've been in some tight places, but I still didn't run. You took me through some changes I never seen before. Are you going where I'm coming from? I
just don't know. Are you going where I'm coming from? Yeah. Have you been where I'm trying to go?
Good things always come to an end, and I've got two tracks that I still want to play for you, so I'm going to just let them roll. From the Ovi Wright album that we've been playing, Memphis Unlimited, here's the final two tracks called Memory Blues and I'm Going Home to Live with God. I really hope you enjoyed this, and I hope you can check out Ovi Wright, folks. Thanks a lot. We'll see you next week.
As time goes by, oh, I think of you, memories of a love that once was true. It was my fault that I lost your precious love, and now you're the only girl that I'm always these memories blue, tears I can't help but shed. These memories blue won't let me forget the love in you was my gift sent from above, but I walk right by up your love, not knowing that I someday have to face the fact I lost my love. You'll never, never come back. These memories blue. Whoa, how could I be so blind? These memories. Oh, I.
them off my mind. Lord have mercy, play the blues for me.
Trouble of this world.